CJLO 1690 AM. Hey everybody, how's it going? This is Andrew, host of Grade A Explosives, normally on Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. You can listen to it then. You should feel free to do that. But that's not what we're doing today. Today is Champions of the Local Scene. That's what you're listening to. And I will be doing this episode today. I'll be airing an interview that I did with author Felix B. Defosse, who is an author who has written a book about metal in Quebec and also about hip-hop, specifically in Montreal. So, you know what? Why don't we just get into this interview? Keep it locked. This is Champions Local Scene, CJLO 1690 AM.
Hey, everybody. It's Andrew. I'm joined by a very special guest this evening. You may know him as a journalist slash columnist, a contributor to Voir, a radio host on Radio Canada Abitibi, creator of a blog. Well, it's Garage Sale, but
Vente de Garage.
There it is. I wrote it down wrong.
Garage Sale is all right.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
you might know him as the owner of Pluton Records. And an author, which is what brings us to talk tonight. Primarily, we're going to talk about No Speed Limit, the evolution of Quebec metal, 1965 to 1989. Good sir, tell the people who you are so they can put a name to a voice.
Yeah, my name is Felix, in French, Felix B. Defosse. And I'm a radio host here in my town, Rouen Noranda. If it's hard to say in English, just say Noranda. Noranda is an English town, right?
Right.
It was mostly Anglo for a long while, and I'm talking to you from Noranda right now. So yeah, I host a radio show for CBC Radio Canada here, a daily the home run show basically. But I'm a music journalist specialized in music history, and I wrote that book, No Speed Limit. Actually, it first came out in 2014 as L'Evolution du Métal Québécois in French, mm-hmm. but then it met a really nice welcome. I don't know how to put it, but I didn't expect how things would turn out with that project, really. And I also recently put out a book about hip-hop roots in Montreal. And it's called Les Racines du Hip-Hop au Québec. But, you know, it all happens in Montreal. So that's basically it. And I write about music history. I also contribute to different shows on CBC, well, on Radio-Canada about music history. Like, I'm going to talk about the Doughboys next week with Rebecca McKinnon on On dira ce qu'on voudra. So, you know, basically I talk about anything that has to do with the music history.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Let me start this off. I figured by the time anybody gets to me, they've already done a bunch of interviews. So let me start off with the first question I have here. What's one question you're tired of being asked or you don't want to be asked about? If I have it on this list, I'll strike it. Won't have to address it at all.
Oh, well, the question I get a lot, and to which I have an internet answer and a full interview answer, is why 1964 or 65 or whatever, you know, why the mid 60s? There's no metal in the 60s. So on Facebook, my answer is, well, buy the book and you'll see. And my full interview answer is that I wanted to go back all the way to the birth of rock and roll in Quebec, and I wanted to introduce elements of metal music as they appeared in the old musical chain. So first of all, you know, like the rock and roll, either trio or four members with like the drummer, the singer, the guitar player, and the bass player. Now that was not a thing until like the late 50s, early 60s in Quebec, you know. And then the things like long hair. Like, at what point did people start wearing long hair? And how was it received by society? Well, it caused riots in the 60s. It was basically, I had this band called Les Différents, The Difference. Mm-hmm. They played in the Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean. Actually, Jean-Pierre, the the town where the Voivod is from. They were playing there in 1966, and people started running after them with scissors in their hands to cut their hair off, you know. And then I wanted to introduce fuzz, and then I wanted to introduce some lyrical themes like anti-religion, Satanism, and stuff like that. So basically, I had to go back to the early 60s to find out exactly where that old rock and roll thing was born. So yeah, so that's so now you have the question and the answer.
That's why I love to do that question first, because inevitably I ask it and the whoever I'm speaking to is like, oh, here's the question we don't want to be asked, and here's the answer to that question.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, let's talk about No Speed Limit. You obviously, based on the fact that now you've authored a book about hip hop, you've authored a book about metal, you have a good knowledge of rock music and music in general. What made you kind of focus in on writing about metal in Quebec?
Well, friends, first of all, because it was my friend Ian Campbell who basically talked me into writing this book. Basically, in 2007, he asked me if I wanted to write a chapter about the roots of heavy metal. So that's why I was writing about the 60s in the beginning. I started writing also about the prog rock movement. So I have a whole chapter about that. And other people were supposed to bring in their chapters about like the 80s. And the 90s and stuff like that. But what did other people do? Well, they did not deliver. So at a certain point, after a couple of years, I told Jan, Ian, look, I'm going to put that on my blog because I have a good texts here, and I believe it would be interesting. I wanted to put out this this blog compilation of early heavy rock, heavy psych, heavy blues stuff that I had digitized with my turntable and stuff like that. So I wanted to have this little booklet for my little blog compilation, whatever. I thought, well, that could be a good thing. And he said, oh, look, let's do. No, I'm gonna work with you. I'm gonna go in a cottage, and I'm gonna write like the 80s and the 90s in 2 weeks. I'm like, good. All right. And then he came back from the cottage and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't come up with anything. So I'm like, okay, well, we're at the same place, basically. So the same point. So I said, look, at that point, I was working with Bande à Part in Radio-Canada, which is the French was, because it's over now, but it was the French equivalent of Brave New Waves on CBC. So I had worked on that web documentary kind of archivist. It was all archives, basically demos and little bios of hardcore bands in Montreal from the birth of hardcore, like in the early 80s, up until I'd say the birth of deathcore. So I had digitized a whole bunch of demos, crossover stuff, hardcore stuff, and then found a couple of really interesting, speed metal stuff, thrash metal, and then all those weird bands that it's like Damnation and stuff like that. I mean, there was not really a term to describe those bands. It was like proto grindcore or it was like proto death metal, but it's not really clear. They didn't even know back then. Those guys did not even know what they were doing. They were just basically on different drugs and playing to the rhythm of the drugs.
back in those heady, some would say better days when there weren't 1,000 subgenres to
yeah. So they were just playing. So basically, anyways, what happened is that I had enough stuff to write. So I said, I told Ian, I said, I'm going to keep on writing. I'm going to write a couple more chapters. And I basically, man, that was my mistake. It was a huge mistake because I try to be as rigorous as possible. And I realized when I jumped into that in the 80s that there were hundreds and hundreds of metal bands, and I wanted to write about each and every one of them at least a couple lines, and it got me working days and nights and for a long while, but it was really interesting. And as work went on and research, and I kept on finding new bands and finding musicians, doing interviews, I started to realize that, well, it really is a very interesting subject, because if there is so many bands and so many musicians, well, there is a social thing to this. There is a very interesting documentary side to this. And so that's it. At the end of the day, I had, of a couple of days, I had this full book written, and I thought, well, okay, now what are we going to do with that? Because there was no precise plan as to how to put it out. And I sent my first version to to a couple of editors here and there in Montreal. And they all said, oh, heavy metal music, that's not, you know, popular enough, not commercial enough. We're not going to put that out. I said, okay.
Someone in Montreal said that to you? Okay.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, well, maybe we're just going to photocopy that and put that on merch tables in metal shows and sell it for $5. And honestly, I had no other real intentions. I thought this would have been the cool thing to do, because I liked the whole DIY thing. I'm out of the punk rock movement. I always did things myself. And, you know, hanging out at merch tables and geeking around is kind of my thing. So, so yeah, I thought this, you know, it's going to be a good piece to put out there. But I moved back to my town, because I was living in Montreal then. Then I moved back to my town up north in Noranda, where we have a very interesting metal scene. And
those fine guys in Backstabber are there doing stuff.
Yeah, they have. I love their album, the one they put out, I think, last year. It was all about conspirations. Mm-hmm. Their album. It was before the whole conspiracy thing, so it was still cool to talk about conspiracy.
Exactly. That
moment. Anyway, that's a whole other debate. But so what happened is that there is this little editor here in our town that's called Quartz, and I gave him a phone call. I said, I have this book I'm working on. Would you guys like to put it out? They said, yeah. I said, cool. And they put it out, and it became huge. I was like, oh my God, what the hell is this? What the heck? I'm sorry. We ended up in Tout le monde en parle, which is, you know, the biggest Francophone TV show.
Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest, besides reality shows and stuff
that. Yeah, so, of course.
So it was, I went there with Michel Aoué Langevin of Voivod and what's his face there? Paul Sarrazin of Musicless. And it was crazy to go there, but I never expected anything like that. Then the book came out, and then people wanted an English version. So we started working on that maybe 2 or 3 years ago.